And that is a sign of life as we interact with one another, as we work together with one another, as we are trying to fulfill the will of God. It requires perseverance. It is challenging. It is difficult. Sometimes we have experiences that will cause us to want to say things that we should not say. But we need to gain strength and power in order to ready ourselves to handle the opposition and the hardship and the difficulties that we are absolutely going to face in life. And so in Mark 14:38, it says, keep watch and pray that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And as Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, as they had left the upper room and he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, preparing himself to handle the cross, he's speaking to the disciples, challenge them to keep watch. And I would like to challenge you today to keep watch, to be praying, to be continuously stirring yourself and quickening yourself through the Word of God and through prayer, that you might be ready for what tomorrow will bring. And I like to use as a theme today, if you knew. If you knew. Are you ready for the Word of the Lord today?
Yes.
Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your Word. And we ask, oh God, that you would arrive among us and arise and enable us to gain strength as we draw close to you. Help us, Lord, to persevere in our daily lives, that we would not fall into temptation, be drawn into the mentality or the ways of those who are of a carnal mindset and those who are outside of operating in the power and the Spirit of the Lord, that your glory may continuously be overflowing from within us, that we would be abounding in the very work of the Lord, in the very manifestations of God, that we would be able to see hearts and minds changed, transformed, and renewed 30, 60, and 100-fold, souls being saved, people being impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let your word be received now, Lord, today, that we might be strengthened by it, and that we may be used of you to change the world. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you knew, you would be filling up to forge ahead. If you knew what was going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, if you knew what was going to happen on your way home tonight, what the situation would be, what you would be able to face, you would begin to prepare for those very experiences. You would not just drift along. You would not just carry on as if everything was just hunky-dory, but you would have a focus. You would have a direction, and that's what Jesus was dealing with when he went into the garden. And it says in Mark 14:32, it says they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here until I have prayed. And so Jesus with the 12 disciples goes up to the Garden of Gethsemane, and I can picture it in my mind as, you know, we were going up the hill just a month or so ago, and we were going up the hill, and we went off to a quiet place. And I can just see how this could have played out as we look at the scriptures here, and he tells the disciples to sit here. And I can picture how there were rocks, I mean big rocks, throughout, scattered the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, we left prayer requests under one of those rocks. Should I say that? That people gave us. And so we were there, and we actually sat on some rocks in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And Jesus had his 12 disciples, and he asked them to sit there. And then he took with him further along Peter, James, and John, and he began to be very distressed and troubled. And that was as he began to move along with Peter, James, and John, he started to suffer in the hands of sinful men, and that he would be about to be crucified. And he says to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." So there was the one first group of disciples that he left when he got to a certain point up in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he took Peter, James, and John. And they represent those who were closest to his heart. Those were the people who genuinely loved Jesus. And I really believe they loved Jesus more than the others really did. And Jesus could tell that there was a difference between the love that they had and the love of others. And so he was very close with Peter, James, and John, and he drew them a little bit closer, and they got to hear the grief of Jesus. They could hear the heart of Jesus as he spoke. He said, "My soul is deeply grieved." The other disciples didn't hear that. They didn't hear and experience the pain that Jesus was feeling, but these three did. And the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you begin to feel and experience the heart of God. The more you begin to experience the very way the Lord feels and the way he desires to move forward in the things that we are about to face. And so verse 35 says that he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass by him. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And so Jesus is crying out to the Father. He's crying out, feeling the weight of what he is about to face. Jesus is about to be beaten, scourged down to the very bone, having his flesh ripped out and exposed, beaten and humiliated in every kind of way. I tell you, it is a terrible, terrible thing to go through that kind of a process. And none of us would be able to endure it. Even the thief on the cross and that were with him didn't endure the magnitude of suffering that Jesus did. He suffered even more than they did. And so Jesus was there crying out in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was seeking God's direction, seeking the will of God. Even Jesus is there saying, "God, please let this cup be removed from me. Lord, if there's any other way, let's do it. Anything but what I'm about to face." Because Jesus was God, he could see what his future was about to be. And if you and I could see what our future was, I think we would behave a little differently. If we could see what is coming our way in our lives, we would think a lot differently. We would begin to focus on the Lord. We would choose those who are closer to the heart of God to fellowship with, to commune with. And we would seek out those who desire to know the Lord with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul. And we would leave certain others behind. And we would find a place where we could ultimately pray and seek the face of God so that we can be strengthened, prepared for what we are about to face. It's interesting that Jesus, coming to this place and time, the very purpose for which he came into the world, was suffering this way. You would think that Jesus would be like Superman, kind of ready for anything, all powerful, all strong and able. He's the Son of God, and that he can just go into this and just handle it and take it. But no, Jesus was fully man. He was equally human as he was equally God. He is God in the flesh. So he felt and experienced life in the same manner you and I do. He felt pain like you and I do. He felt anxiety like you and I do. And all the challenges of life he faced, he worked as a carpenter. That means he had a job. He worked, he got up, and he served, and he did what needed to be done. And this is something that we often forget. just how human Jesus was. And so here he is, and he's crying out to God. There are some things that we can tell each other, but there are some things that only God can handle and deal with. And we have to bring those things to God. And we have to know the difference between what is humanly handled and what is divinely handled. And as we seek God, as God reveals himself to us, as he reveals his ways to us, we experience the glory of God. We experience the comfort of the Lord. Jesus, it says, came and found them sleeping. And he says to Simon, Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Couldn't you pray for 1 hour? Jesus is there crying out to God. Notice Jesus didn't pray a long prayer. Did you notice that? Did you see that prayer that Jesus prayed? I just want to point this out. It says he cried out, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Amen. Hallelujah. People today pray longer than Jesus. And they're not even facing what Jesus had to face. It's not about how long you pray. It's about the fervency of your prayer. And if your prayer is fervent, you don't have to pray long. Hallelujah. And so what we begin to see is that he came back after praying that simple prayer. And he's just coming back to just kind of touch base with the disciples who he really perceived as those who were the most genuine and the most hungry for God. And he says to them, what? You're asleep? You're asleep? And I would submit to you that even the most spiritual among us will not be able to sustain us. They will not be able to see us through. They may not be able to go the distance. But there are always going to be things in your life that no one can help you with. You have to endure it alone. And Jesus could not get help from the disciples. He couldn't get them from the 12. And he tried to lean on Peter, James, and John a little bit, but he found them sleeping. And so often, people are going to let you down. There are people who you will say, could you pray for me? And they're going to forget. And they're going to fall asleep on you. And they're not going to be there. And Jesus was there just meditating and praying. And he spent time with in the presence of God just for an hour. And I found it interesting that Jesus prayed that short prayer, but he was gone for an hour. That tells us that he spent time just meditating before the Lord, just grumbling before the Lord. The Bible says that the Spirit will pray through us with groanings and utterances that cannot be heard. And sometimes your situation is so grievous, it's so heavy, it's so deep, it's so hard, it's so overwhelming that words cannot even express it. All you can do is just lay before the Lord with grumblings and groanings from the heart. And we cry out to God and we just say, oh Lord, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Oh God, not my will, but your will be done. And I believe Jesus was just saying those things over and over again. And he was just releasing himself to God and waiting on God for an answer, praying and seeking him to say, all right, Jesus, we're going to do it a different way. But he waited an hour, and he waited, and he waited. And finally, he realized, I better go check on my brothers. And he gets up and finds them sleeping. And he says to them, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I know that the disciples had just come from a long service in the upper room, isn't that right? And there they were in the Garden of Gethsemane on Jesus' time schedule. Because, you know, Jesus didn't have the same timeline as everybody else. They would get up at dawn and they would work and be active all day. And then in the evening, they would come back together and they would have a quiet night of rest and sleep. But Jesus, at night, would go to the Garden of Gethsemane where he would pray. where he would spend time with the Father, where he would commune with the Father. And this is a different schedule than what the disciples were used to. They were used to sleeping. Have you ever worked a night shift while everybody else is sleeping? You're awake. And all of a sudden, when the morning light comes up, you're like dazed. You're like, you get this like hazy like feeling. You know that feeling? You know, and you kind of like, because your schedule is all thrown off. You know, everything has been turned around. And that's kind of what the disciples were experiencing, only they had been up so long, they couldn't even keep their eyes open. Have you ever been that tired where your eyes are just like you're struggling, you're doing everything you can? I remember driving home from the city, in my car and having been up so long and only having a few hours of sleep, commuting, driving, and you're like, ugh. I remember one time I was coming over the Tappan Zee Bridge. I was so dazed and tired. All of a sudden, I'm driving. I was in the fast lane, and I'm coming down. And all of a sudden, as I come around the bend into Rockland, I realized I was in the middle lane. And I'm like, wait a minute. How did I get in this lane? I don't even know how it happened. I was so tired, so dazed. You know, I was just like driving in a fog and not even realizing how tired I was. And I tell you, sometimes we go through challenges and difficulties and we don't realize the magnitude of what we're carrying, and we need to bring it before the Lord. We need to lay it before him, and we need to be able to endure the night in prayer, because the weight is that challenging. And sometimes we find ourselves in these kinds of situations. Life is difficult. Life is challenging. Life is hard. Jesus says, keep watch. Keep watch, because God does not want us ignorant of Satan's devices. When we pray, when we seek God, God always shows us what is coming. God reveals what is about to come. That is the awesomeness of serving God. No one can take God by surprise. No one ever is there a situation where something happens and God goes, what? I had no idea. Okay, everybody, quick. Angels, come over here. Everybody, shift, change in plan, run. We got to fix this. God is never in that situation. He knows before it even happens. He's already ready for whatever the opposition is, whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstances are. He already knows. He knows that you're going to sin even after you're saved. He knows you're going to make mistakes. Even after you say, Lord, forgive me, I won't do it again. It is going to come back again. And he knows, and he's ready for it. And he still loves us. He still uses us. He still has given us the charge to go into the world and to impact the world for Christ and to testify and to help others come to know him. And I tell you, the more you begin to operate according to the rule of the Spirit of God, the more you will be strengthened and empowered by God himself. You will find yourself coming to a place of healing. I wish that you were all here on Friday night. And I tell you, we discovered as the brain is functioning and operating, it's growing trees, and where our ability to gain in intelligence increases daily. And we have this ability to discern and to be able to operate according to the wisdom of God, because God has designed us to operate that way. We have the capacity to function and operate just as Jesus did. We have the ability to do the very things that Jesus did. This is why Jesus said, greater works you should do, because I go to my Father. And we can do greater works. We can do the things that Jesus has done and did as a role model and an example to us. But we must overcome. We must keep watching and praying. We must resist temptation, because our spirit is willing. Is your spirit willing? I pray that your spirit is willing. I know that our flesh is weak. We get tired sometimes. Sometimes we work too much. Sometimes we do too much. Sometimes we take on too much of problems and issues. Sometimes we take on other people's problems and issues. and there are certain things that you cannot take on that are not for you to take on. They belong to the Lord. And if we can grasp this concept, grasp this principle of the importance of keeping watch, I can tell you that when you're in a battle zone, you have to always keep watch. Isn't that right? You have to always keep watch. If you're not watching, that's when the enemy can sneak in on you. And the next thing you know, you're under attack from a position you can't defend yourself from. And that is what God is trying to enable us to do, so that we can have divine tactics and apply a divine tactical plan to our lives, so that we are not caught off guard when we are going into situations, because God gives us a certain level of awareness. He enables us to hear and to see and to discern. Sometimes you just sense in the very core of your being that something is going to shift, that something has shifted, or that something is going to happen. And God begins to prepare you, and that immediately causes you to go into intercessory prayer. And many people have this gift, because the Holy Spirit is unctioning them and causes them to begin to pray. Sometimes you don't even know what you're praying for, but you know that you need to pray. But as you get into prayer and as you begin to seek the Lord, God begins to show you little things piece by piece. He'll show you people and their faces. Sometimes he'll show you situations and you don't know who it is, but you know it's a situation that's very real that is about to happen. And there are things that God begins to reveal to us as we pursue him in prayer, as we seek the face of God, as we commune with him, as we abide in his presence. He said again, he went away and he prayed, saying the same words. You see that? Jesus wasn't even using the whole dictionary of vocabulary in his prayer, but Jesus was simply saying the same prayer. He had one request. He had one heart's desire, and he just prayed that three times. He prayed it again and again and again. And saints of God, there's nothing wrong with praying the same prayer again and again and again. And we keep praying until we feel the sense that God has responded, or God is hearing, or God is working. And we pray on, and we pray on, and we can seek the face of God with all our hearts, all our soul, and all our mind. Your friends are going to let you down. People that you're counting on are going to let you down. They're going to disappoint you. And you're going to think that you can lean on them, but they can only go but so far. They can't go all the way into the garden with you. There comes a point where it's you and the Lord, you and God, and no one else can help you. And your faith and your trust must remain in him, must remain upon him. And we have to go into that secret place under the shadow of the Almighty and abide there, where his glory will fill our hearts and renew our minds and enable us to commune with God. Verse 40 says, and again he came and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy and they did not know what to answer him. What do you say to Jesus when he comes back again and you're sleeping? You're there asleep. Hallelujah. Sometimes in men's prayer, there are guys asleep. You say, could you not pray with us for 1 hour? And they're falling asleep. Sometimes I hear them on the women's prayer line. I hear that. There are ladies sleeping. You hear them. You know they're sleeping because you hear them. Well, I'm sure that's what Jesus heard as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And if the disciples had sleep apnea or something like that, Jesus probably heard them from across the garden. He's snoring like bears. And he probably said, let me go and see if these brothers are all right. And there they were. Their eyes are heavy. And they are asleep. And they don't even know what to say. Do you know, what do you say to Jesus when he comes and he says for the third time, could you not pray with me for an hour? All I needed was an hour. And he came the third time and he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. And saints of God, we face sinners every day. Every day we face people who are contrary to the will of God. A sinner is anyone who is operating contradictory to the plan or the word of God. And that is the case with many of us, that we interact with people who are working against the plan of God. And it is challenging, it is difficult, and it is hard. But we must be able to persevere in the Lord. We have to learn how to apply spiritual principles in our lives, that we would become a people who pray and who pursue the Lord, who are, even if you don't have words, you can just groan before the Lord and say, God, you know, because the Lord knows what is resting upon your heart. He knows what you are about to face. He knows what you are dealing with and what you are handling and what you are trying to manage. He understands it all. In fact, he orchestrated it there for you. And so often we find ourselves saying it's the devil, but it's not. It's the plan of God. Looking at Jesus' life, you would say the devil did it. But it was all according to God's plan. Even Satan being an entity and a tool of God, it was all part of God's plan. Satan thought he was destroying the Son of God. God said, I'm going to use Satan to fulfill the redemptive plan of God. And that is what God is doing in your life and in my life. Yes, the devil will show up. Yes, he is strategizing against you. Yes, he is working against you. But it doesn't matter, because all those things are working together for your good, because you're the called of God according to his principles, according to his ways and the desires of the Lord. God is working to bring all of these things together so that you can be victorious. Are you still sleeping and resting? I would say wake up and begin to pray. Wake up and allow God to manifest himself. The time is at hand. There is nothing worse than being caught off guard, finding yourself in a situation where now you need to get spiritual. You ever been there? You ever had a situation like that where you're in this carnal state, a carnal state of mind, and all of a sudden you hear bad news, or you hear of someone in a situation who needs help, or someone who's calling upon you? And I tell you, that is a terrible thing. I had a friend of mine who told me the story of how he was hanging out with some Christian friends of his, and they were at somebody's home, and they were fellowshipping, and these Christians believed in drinking alcohol, and so they were there, and they were drinking, they were having wine and some other things, you know, with their meal, and talking, and fellowshipping, and hanging out. And then all of a sudden, they got a prayer, a call to prayer. When they were called to prayer, all of a sudden everybody was kind of all off, put off. And that terrible situation had happened with someone that they knew, and that the person was in the hospital on life support. And those people were called to come to pray, and a few of them went down to pray. And they went down to pray to the hospital, and someone smelled the alcohol on them. And then the person's family was there, said, please, have you been drinking? What is that? And then they were asked to step outside the room, and they weren't allowed to pray with those who were praying that had been called together to pray. And this is why you have to always be ready. You have to be instant, in season, and out of season. And you cannot allow the carnal ways of the world to infiltrate your mind, to take you to a place of darkness where you'll find yourself in a carnal state. You must be able to withdraw alone to a place where you can be ready, where God can make you ready, where he can fill you up, where he can restore you, where he can raise you up and enable you and empower you, so that in a moment's notice, you are ready instantly. You are in the Spirit of God. You are in the presence of God. And this is what God is calling us to do. He said to the disciples, get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. It was that moment when you're called to action. Now you need to be ready. And instead of being prayed up, you were sleeping. Oh, we know you had a good excuse. You were up all day, and you were up long hours, and you were doing all kinds of things. But there was a reason for that. There was a reason, and the reason was that you might be prepared in order to deal with the situation at hand. And as we know, Peter ended up cursing and swearing and denying Jesus, and all the disciples scattered, and all these, everything was in chaos. But Jesus gave them a chance to make themselves ready so that that did not happen. But it happened because they did not recognize and understand the magnitude of the situation that they were in, and therefore they were unprepared. And I would submit to you today, church, get up and let us be ready. Let us get going and let us do the will of God. Let us accomplish what God has called us to do. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes, of his plans, of his divisive ways, of the strategies that he has for us. And so we have to be on the ready. We must always be in a state where we are able to navigate through the challenges and difficulties of life. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, Paul says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And so we must be ready. He says, don't be drinking wine. Don't be getting all caught up in the ways of the world, but focus on the things of God. Allow yourself to be ready, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the communion of God. That's drawing in the presence of God, bringing in a fresh anointing and the presence of the Lord, because you don't know what you're about to face. You don't know the magnitude of the situation that is about to come. I pray that we are ready, church. We are in the last and evil days. We are going to see things that we can't even imagine beginning to take place, and things beginning to happen. You see already how society is shifting and changing, and evil is becoming more and more prevalent. And the Word of God tells us that in the last days, it'll be as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it will be as the days of Noah. And we know that God has called us to be ready, to be instant, that we would be able to operate according to the principles and the power of God. Luke 21, 34 says, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell in the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert, keep watch, keep in prayer, stay focused on the Lord, stay in pursuit of God, persevere in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of God. Pray that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Are you ready to stand before the Son of Man? Are you ready to stand before the Lord? Have you been persevering in the presence of God? Oh, if you only knew what tomorrow was going to bring. If you only knew what your future holds. If you only knew what was about to happen in your family or in your life or on your job or whatever the situation is that is already aligning itself to face you. Will you be ready? Will you have spent time seeking the face of God, persevering in the Lord? What about the opportunities to share your testimony, to share the love of God, to share the witness of Christ? I can tell you so many times I've had that experience. I'll never forget one brother I used to work with, and I would share with him the gospel and talk to him about the Lord, and he would mock and make fun. And I tell you, he had no idea what his future was going to hold. And it was no more than about 2 or 3 years, I think it was, after, actually it was a year after I stopped working with him, I transferred, and I heard he died in a motorcycle accident right over here on the Springbrook coming on to 287 in White Plains. And I tell you, it was a shock that went through all of us. 1 minute he was there, the next minute he was not. He was riding his motorcycle and something happened and his leg got caught on something, his pants or something, and it pulled him and threw his, he missed the curve and cut off his leg, and he bled to death. They had to airlift him to Westchester Medical Center, and he didn't make it. Saints of God, You never know what someone is about to face. There are people in your lives that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't share with them, it may be too late. And even if they don't hear it, even if they won't receive it, their blood is no longer on your hands. But you have been liberated. Know that you have to be on the alert. We must be ready. We never know what we are about to face. Keep watch and pray that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Saints of God, let's rally to the cause of Christ. Let's be even as Jesus was in the garden, and let's find our way into a quiet place where we can learn how to commune with God, where we can learn how to seek the face of God, where we would be able to realize the importance. This is the reason that we have been born again. This is the reason that we have been saved. This is the reason Christ came into the world, that we might be agents of God who desires to save sinners. We too are a part of that plan. Let God use you. Don't let anyone in your life pass through without hearing your testimony, hearing your story of what God has done in your life. Everyone you know, everyone who you have any kind of relationship with should know your story. Even if they don't want to hear it, even if they don't want to receive Christ, you share your testimony. You share what God has done for you, because I can assure you, they too need a Savior, and they too need a liberating experience in God, and they want to experience new life in Christ. So let us keep watching. Seize every opportunity. Let God arise. Persevere in the Lord. Persevere in His word. Persevere in prayer. Fellowship with those who are seeking God and who are genuinely working together in the unity of the Spirit. You cannot be a disciple and be independent. You can only be a disciple when you follow Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, you never follow Jesus alone. There are always others who are following Him also. And the whole purpose of the church is that we would come together as one body and operate, one being a hand, one being an eye, one being a foot, one being a leg, one being a heart, one being a lung. And there, we all have different roles to play. But if we work together, if we function on one accord in the unity of the Spirit, we can change the world. And we can see the very hand of God manifested in the lives of the people around us. And old things will pass away, and behold, all things will be made new. Saints of God, how would you change if you knew? How would you proceed through this week if you knew what you were about to face? If you knew what your co-workers were about to face? If you knew what family